You're listening to the Soul Source Podcast. I'm your host, Raquel Amel. Soul Source exists to share stories that are shaping our world today. We go straight to the source of the information to give you the best insight on topics and to show you what's being done about these issues, as well as how you can help to make a difference. So buckle up, Soul Source Society, because we're about to get started.
Women are on the front lines of a lot of these areas that we rely on to get through this pandemic. And all the publications and all the studies really point to this fact that women are being hit hard with job losses.
Hello, I'm your host, Raquel Amel, and we talk a lot about COVID-19 on this show, but how can we not right now? I mean, as a cultural news podcast, this pandemic has impacted every single part of our lives. But there's one group who the odds have been stacked against since this whole pandemic started. And today we're shedding some light on that group. You may have seen or read the article in the New York Times by food blogger Deb Perelman titled, quote, "In the COVID-19 economy, you can have a kid or a job. You can't have both," unquote. That's a pretty harsh statement, but the author goes on to outline why, stating children need attention, parents are being asked to be teachers, parents, and employees, and they can't do it all and find time to eat and sleep themselves. Here to explain how women are being disproportionately impacted by COVID-19 is Julie Keller, Executive Director of the Women's Fund for the Fox Valley Region, an organization that I myself happen to be a part of. Julie, welcome to Soul Source.
Thank you for having me.
I am excited to talk with you today. And first off, I want to know a little bit more, if you can tell us all, what is the Women's Fund and what is the impact that you have on the community?
Sure. The mission of the Women's Fund is really to promote the advancement of women and girls in our community. And we see a vision of a community where there's equality and it's not limited by gender. We believe that through coming together as a community, that we can have an impact through philanthropy in supporting those programs that elevate women and girls in our community. And the Women's Fund is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year. So 25 years ago, the Women's Fund was founded by a group of 100, mainly women, some men, by pooling their resources and creating the Women's Fund. So during that time, over 1.7 million has been granted out and funded back into the community to support programs for women and girls. And that's about 83 nonprofits, 220 different programs. There's scholarships that come out of the Women's Fund. So really a lot of great work that's happening because everybody coming together supporting women and girls.
That is really, really awesome. I know you guys have some really cool programs too, which we can talk about a little bit more here. Tell me a little bit about some of the programs that you guys offer.
Sure. Some of what we do is project grants are a big part of what we do. So every year we give away over $60,000. We invest $60,000 back into nonprofits in our community that focus on elevating women and girls in our community. We have a girls grant making program, which is a very neat program for high school girls. So we get high school girls together and they talk about the needs that they and their peers are facing. And then they have $10,000 to grant out. So they determine what the priority area is, what impact they want to make. Then they get to review grant applications from nonprofits that address that particular impact area. And then they get to decide how to invest $10,000 that they feel will best support them. So it's a really great leadership opportunity as well for these high school girls. And so that program has been going on for 9 years now. So really about teaching philanthropy, giving back, and really listening to these young women. And using some of their ideas to solve problems that impact them and their peers. We have a great Young Women's Initiative, and that is a program for young women and single moms who need to go back to, or who want to go back to school to really better their education, to get new skills, and to really qualify for those better paying jobs that can support their family. So this program came from studies that have shown that single moms, women headed households, really have much higher poverty rates than others in our community. So we partnered with Fox Valley Technical College and BABES Child Abuse and Prevention Program, and really are supporting small cohorts of women with the skills and the resources and even just the self-confidence that they can go back to school. And that they have gifts and talents, and they need help finding those gifts and talents. And then what do they want to do, and what kind of careers and jobs do they want to pursue? that will allow them to rise out of poverty. So that's a really important initiative that the Women's Fund has been funding for a number of years.
I love that. So I know that with all those programs, you're seeing on a regular basis the way that women are impacted by all sorts of different challenges. I mean, on a good day, there's still a pay disparity between men and women in a lot of positions, with women on average making 79 cents to every dollar that a man is making. Women also tend to take on the bulk of what they call unpaid work in a home. And according to a study by Boston Consulting Group that surveyed more than 3,000 people in the U.S. and Europe, working women are currently spending 15 hours a week or more on unpaid work than men right now. How is COVID-19 increasing this problem, Julie?
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of these disparities really rise to the surface. You know, all of those things that you just mentioned were here before COVID. And now COVID is really highlighting those disparities and the impact on women. And women are on the front lines of this, and it also is impacting their employment. Women have been impacted by job losses at a higher rate than men during this particular downturn in our economy. You know, women are on the front lines of a lot of these areas that we rely on to get through this pandemic. For instance, healthcare workers, childcare and social service providers, educators, you know, a lot of those jobs are primarily women holding those positions. And also we've seen women have had higher unemployment and job losses related to this pandemic. Because a lot of the service sectors, the restaurant workers, childcare, a lot of those businesses were shut down, people were furloughed, and a lot of those sectors have a lot of women in them. So that has been something we've seen across the board, and everybody has really recognized this, which is maybe one of the good things to come out of the pandemic, is people are really recognizing this. You know, I was watching 60 Minutes one month or so ago, and the Federal Reserve chairman said women are the one that will be, you know, disproportionately impacted, you know. So it's in all the publications and all the studies really point to this fact that women are being hit hard with job losses. We also look at things like domestic violence, and safer at home, unfortunately, is not safe for everyone. So we've seen more domestic violence this time, more people being isolated in their homes. And like you said, the wage gap. If the wage gap just means that women have less financial resources to kind of ride out this pandemic and a job loss or a furlough. So they have less resources there. And one of the big things that people are really realizing is that unpaid work. Mm-hmm. So in most families, even when both parents work, it is the woman who takes on a large portion of the childcare duties. Now that children are at home and have been homeschooled last spring, women are taking on a lot of those duties. So it's really been tough for women to balance that. How am I a good employee, work full time, but yeah, make sure my children are taken care of, make sure they're caught up on their schoolwork. So it's really taking a pretty large toll on women.
And I gotta assume that the toll is different too for, you know, if someone's married and they have a partner able to help them versus if they're single and alone trying to do the work plus the teaching plus just running a household. Or even if you're married to someone in the medical field right now, you're almost still a single parent because they have to keep their distance because they're around COVID-19. Are you seeing any disparities there?
Yes, most definitely. And single women are taking on all of that, and they're trying to manage all of that, and it is taking on a great toll. And actually, the Fox Cities Life study just had an update to one of their indicators that indicated that single women, single moms, have their poverty rate is 10 times higher than married couples with children, and so that's a pretty dramatic increase. So you're alone, you're struggling, you may be in poverty, you're trying to do all of these things, and then all of this extra gets put on top of it. So there may be more childcare responsibilities, more homeschooling responsibilities, you're still trying to pay your rent. So that is one reason also why single moms have been, as I mentioned before, have been the focus, you know, of the Women's Fund, is really trying to help them elevate themselves and through education. We think education is a great way for women to elevate themselves and their families to get back to school, to get those that degree or that education to really get into a higher paying job. So that economic security is really an important part of what the Women's Fund believes can really help women, is how and what capacity can more women be economically secure so they can have a better life for themselves and their families.
I'm going to ask you a little bit of a personal question here, Julie, but I am curious, because as the head of this organization and all of the great work that you're doing for women, personally, what is it like for you to see this happening to women? And it's kind of out of everyone's control, right?
It is hard, you know, and we're all struggling. And I think that it's hard for women who don't have the resources that others have. And I count myself very lucky. And I tell people all the time how lucky I am. I work from home. My husband works from home. We have two incomes coming into the household that hasn't been impacted. So we're able to balance it all, even though for us it's hard. It's hard for families every day. But when I see those families who have even less resources, less supports, whether that's family support, friends, that social support, that's really hard. And some of the women that we work with in this program are some of the strongest women I've ever met as to what they're balancing. They're trying to do this all and go back to school. and that's really great that they're giving themselves that opportunity to go back to school and really focus on themselves, because they focus on their family so much of the time, and to really focus on themselves for the long-term betterment of their family.
It is. It's an incredible feat of strength for sure, especially right now. Now, I know that I have seen some studies out there, and they're kind of scary because they talk about years of advancement here with gender equality and how that could possibly be regressing as a result of the new COVID-19 economy. Can you explain what's going on there and why this new normal, and I say new normal in quotes, could be a setback for women?
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about the new normal and rebuilding and getting back to where we were. But if we just get back to where we were, you know, women are still going to be left behind, particularly women of color will be left behind. So we don't want to go back to normal. We don't want to go back to where we were. We really need to reimagine, re-envision, rebuild as to what we want this new economy to look like. There's a lot of impact on employment opportunities for women. Childcare is a huge issue right now. There's a lot of talk in the community, local, state, national level about really a childcare crisis. And we really can't get our economy back on track and going again until we figure out the childcare component, because that's what parents are struggling with right now, is what will that look like for the fall? And what happens if we go into a shutdown again? And I think that there's, on all levels, there's really a great focus on childcare, and also looking at kind of the social norms and expectations. You know, women taking care of the household, being responsible for her family, even in a two-parent working household, you know, that sometimes we fall into those gender stereotypes and social norms. And so I'm hoping that through this, we can get some more flexibility for workers that will benefit women and men. It will benefit families in general, but since women are a big part of that childcare and household component, how can some of that flexibility be built in? How can we re-envision childcare? And so how can we recover to a better normal, to a new normal that really will benefit families? Because our economy is really riding on us being able to get back to work, and we all cannot get back to work unless we figure out some of these family issues, childcare and schooling, being a couple of the main ones, that we are dealing with right now.
Yeah. Especially with it being August and school right around the corner, that is a big, big conversation. So why is it then that you think women, because you talked about how we fall into these gender stereotypes, why do you think women tend to shoulder that burden more? What is it that we do that tends to happen?
You know, that's a great question. And it goes back centuries, I'm sure, just in kind of gender stereotypes and women's roles and how we were raised, or how our role models, you know, what role models we had. So, and you know, the the caring nature of women and taking on that role. So I don't think there's an easy answer to that question, but hopefully we're seeing some more men stepping up and saying that, oh, I'm home. And now I really realize that it is a lot to take care of children, and it is hard to have children at home while you are trying to work. And so I think in two-parent families, there's probably more of an awareness now about all that happens, you know, when you have children at home. So I'm hoping that some of that also will help share the burden a little bit, or share the responsibilities of some of these household duties that have tended to fall on women.
A little bit of an awakening, so to speak.
Exactly.
We will be right back after this short break. It is the biggest event of the fall. The Women's Fund for the Fox Valley Region's Luncheon is Thursday, September 10th. Although the event is going virtual this year, do not let that fool you. It is still jam-packed with an issue spotlight panel and those designer purses you've come to expect at this event. But the main attraction is Appleton native Joanna Garten, author of the book Edge of the Map.
I'm so thrilled to join you for this year's luncheon. I'll be bringing you the story of a humble, trailblazing woman from Appleton who climbed the highest mountains in the world and paved the way for generations of girls and women. Christine Boscoff perished in 2006 in an avalanche, but her legacy of resilience has lived on, and I'm happy to share how her life inspired Edge of the Map.
Don't miss out on this amazing opportunity to come together virtually and support women and girls in your community. Or visit womensfundfvr.org to donate to programs that are empowering women and girls in the Fox Valley today. Welcome back. And I know you guys at the Women's Fund, you really put a hyper focus on women's issues, especially in the Fox Valley region, and you're really looking for ways to enhance the lives of women. So what are some of the things that you guys are doing or putting in place to try to prevent this regression that we're hearing about here in this COVID-19 new normal or society that we're living in?
Yeah, it's really all about how we invest in women and girls and really elevating women and saying that women, you know, are such an important piece of healthy families, healthy community. You know, when women thrive, everybody thrives. So it's really looking at how we can support women, because by supporting women, we're supporting families, we're supporting communities. You know, everybody benefits from it. So there really is very few charitable dollars that go specifically towards women and girls focused issues. And there was a big study done last fall by Indiana State University. They have a Women's Philanthropy Institute. They really looked at what percentage of charitable giving goes to causes directly related to women and girls. And it was 1.6% of all charitable giving in this study that they did. It's out there if people can look for it and Google it, the Women's Philanthropy Institute at Indiana University, and they'll find the study and find how they did this. So really looking at issues for women and girls, that's really a small percent of philanthropy and charitable giving that goes to these causes. And that's why we think women's funds in general are even more important in our community and across our country. So we can really focus our giving on how to raise women and girls and elevate them. So some of these societal problems, some of these disparities that we've been talking about here today, we can help that through philanthropy and through advocacy and through all coming together and supporting this work. So those are really important reasons why we are super focused on really moving that needle on how we can have more charitable giving be directed towards women and girls.
And specifically to your organization, I mean, we talked a little bit about, I believe it's the Starting Point 2.0 program where the women come in and they get the education help with that you're working with BAPES. Yep. And then I know you also have some Empower workshops. Talk with me a little bit about those two programs and if you have any numbers on the impact, because I know they've made a big impact within just the Fox Valley community, but these are things that can be replicated all across the country.
Right. And really it's partnering with our local technical college and a child focused agency to offer this program. And we've had almost 70 women graduate over a 3-year period from this program. We have two pieces of the program. One is focused on single moms. So part of that program is really focused on parenting. How do you manage going back to school as a single mom? How do you manage studying, with childcare, with, you know, providing for your children and things like that. And then the other part, the empower part, is for young women who do not have children. So they may have just graduated from high school. They may be a little lost. They're not quite sure what to do. They're not quite sure if college is for them. So they may be working in a lower income job. But how can we give them really the confidence and the knowledge about what needs to happen for them to be successful in college? So I think that's what's really important. You know, the paying for college and things like that, that's important, but even just having that self-confidence that you can do it, that you are capable and smart and have talents that you can utilize to get a great career and have a great career, especially if that hasn't been part of your family or part of your family discussion about going on to post-secondary education. And it doesn't have to be college. It could be any kind of post-secondary education where you can increase your skills to get that higher paying job. So we've had almost 70 women do that. We've had over 40 kids go through the early childhood education component. We've had school-aged children in the household who have seen their mom succeed. We have some women tell us that she's studying along with her, you know, high school or younger kids, you know, so it's kind of like we're studying together. So it's really a great role model too, of really seeing your mother thrive and your mother go back to school. And I think there are studies out there that say if you have a parent that has gone back to school, you yourself are more likely to go back to school. So it's just really setting that great role model. So we have one woman who she told me she came from a dysfunctional family. School was never talked about, never a priority. She just thought she would kind of do her job that she's been doing, making a pretty low wage. And then a friend told her about this program, and she went through this program. She graduated. She has an associate degree in human resources. She's working. She has benefits. So here's a young woman that didn't really think she would do much besides just kind of keep working what she was doing. And now she has this whole new career outlook, this whole new career path for herself. And she has a young daughter. So those are the kind of stories that keep us going and say, this is the great work that we're doing. And these are the reasons why we're doing it, because it's really impacting lives and families.
For sure. And it's amazing to see, because kids pick up on a lot more than people think they do. You know, when you see your mom going to school like that, it's a big deal. So these programs that you guys offer, like the two you just mentioned, it takes money to make these programs happen, does it not? How do these come to be?
Yep, it does take money. So the Women's Fund does research. You know, we look at the issues, as I talked about. You know, we looked at that stat of single moms in poverty. So we look at the research out there, and then we decide what areas do we think we can make an impact on that will benefit our community and the women and families in our community. And then that's where all the supporters come in and all the donors come in. We have supporters who support these programs. We have donors who set up funds so they can direct their charitable giving to specific issues related to women and girls. So it's really all about all of us coming together and having a greater impact together than we can each do individually. So donors trust the Women's Funds to know what those high impact programs are, how to invest their charitable dollars so they get the most return for their charitable dollars in terms of impact in our community. And it really all does take dollars. It takes all of us coming together and saying, this is important and we want to make an investment in women and girls in our community.
And this happens in a big way every year with something really special. It is called the Women's Fund Luncheon. And it's actually coming up here next month in September. This is one of the biggest fundraisers that the Women's Fund has for programs like Starting Point 2.0 and Empower and all the other programs that you guys have. How is this luncheon, though? It's getting a little bit of a revamp, a little bit of a remodel this year. What is going on? Tell me about that.
Yeah, sure. So this is our 20th luncheon, actually. So we've been doing this for a while, and this is our largest fundraising event. And it's also just a great community event to bring women together. So bringing people together is not what we're doing this year. So we are going a virtual fundraising or a virtual luncheon. We will have a virtual luncheon on September 10th. But we still need to raise the funds because, you know, now more than ever, given everything we just talked about today, we know that women really, really need the help and the support. So we still are having our luncheon, except we are going to bring it to you. So we are going to have a virtual luncheon. We have a keynote speaker. Every year we have a keynote speaker to inspire us. And this year it is Joanna Garten. Joanna lives in Colorado with her family right now, but she is an Appleton native and author. And she wrote a book about Christine Boskoff called Edge of the Map. And Christine is another Appleton native who was a mountain climber and climbed to the highest peaks and holds a lot of records for climbing Mount Everest and other peaks, but really relatively unknown even in Appleton and in this male-dominated mountaineering circles. She was one of the few women. Unfortunately, her and her partner passed away in an avalanche in 2006, but that was national news. And I know it was news here in Appleton as well, because her family still lives in this area. Her mom is still in Appleton. So we got connected to Joanna, who wrote this amazing book, and I have read it, Edge of the Map. It's really good. It's really inspiring. And really talking about Christine and how she was just a quiet soul who just kind of went about and really trailblazed for women. And it's a great story. So it's a nice connection with an Appleton native writing about another Appleton woman. And Joanna's mom, actually, Jane Garten, was the first executive director of the Women's Fund. So given it's the 20th anniversary of the luncheon, the 25th anniversary of the founding of the Women's Fund, we thought this would be a really nice way to kind of make all those connections with having this unique tie that Joanna has to the Women's Fund through her mom. So registration is open. People can join us. Like I said, it's virtual this year, but we're still going to have a really great, inspiring program. And we still need to raise a lot of money to support women and girls this year.
Of course. And I think actually, wasn't Joanna and Christine, they're classmates, went to the same school, right?
They went to the same school. They're both Appleton East grads. I think they were a couple of years apart, but they were both Appleton East grad. There's actually a climbing wall at Appleton East named after Christine. They have a leadership class. In fact, I talked to the teacher over there who teaches that class, and he's going to have his students tune in to participate and watch the luncheon as well, because there is a leadership class inspired by Christine and all of her efforts and all of her accomplishments. So she lives on in this community as well.
That is really, really cool. And there's more than just, like, the speaker is a huge part and you don't want to miss that. But there's more than that, right? There's a panel too that you guys are doing. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, we wanted to really talk about how the COVID pandemic has impacted our community and leaders in our community. So we are getting together four leaders to talk about how this pandemic has impacted them personally and professionally as they are leading us through this crisis. So we have Judy Baseman, who's the superintendent of the Appleton Area School District. We have Monica Hiltz. She's the president of Ascension St. Elizabeth Hospital. Becky Bartoszek is president and CEO of the Fox Cities Chamber. And Tammy Guillen is vice president of community engagement at the Community Foundation. So we really wanted to talk to those four leaders about how has it been for you personally and professionally leading really a whole sector. You know, Judy Baseman has to figure out how 16,000 kids are going to go back to school. And Monica Hiltz is looking at this from the medical side, and Becky is looking at it from businesses, and Tammy and so many others in this community have really rallied around how do we get dollars, how do we get charitable dollars into the hands of these organizations that need it right now to help people. So we are going to have a panel discussion with them on kind of what it's been like for them and how they have led through this time and are continuing to lead through this time. You know, when you have imperfect information and changing information, it's really hard to make decisions. But I think these four women leaders will really be an inspiration as we talk to them and learn from them.
Such a timely topic. And I'm really looking forward to that panel, because I think, you know, even if they work in an area that I don't particularly work in, I think a lot of the struggles are felt just across the board by everybody.
Exactly. A lot of those leadership skills, a lot of things you learn as you go that can be applied, like you said, across multiple sectors. Absolutely. I think we can be learn and inspire.
Yep. So those are two events, but you talked about a virtual luncheon. How does that work? What do people have to do? How can you be a part of the virtual luncheon? What do you need to do that?
Sure, absolutely. The easiest way to do that is to go to our website. So that's womensfundfvr.org. So if you go to our website, you'll see information on the luncheon. You'll see a schedule of kind of what we're doing and a place that you can register for the luncheon. So you can register for the luncheon. This year, we're doing a suggested donation. So the suggested donation is $25 in honor of the 25th anniversary of the Women's Fund. So you can register for the luncheon there. We're going to have some fun with virtual tables. So traditionally women would buy a table and invite 9 of their friends and they'd all come to the luncheon together. Well, this year you can get a virtual table where you can reserve a table, still invite 9 of your friends, and we'll put you in a Zoom room together. So you'll have your own room to kind of talk and catch up before then you all watch the luncheon together. So we're having a little fun with it. We're trying to be creative in how we have this great experience for folks. We also have designer handbag auctions. So usually we have a raffle where you buy a raffle ticket at the event. So this year, since we can't do raffle tickets, we are having a designer handbag. So 20 designer handbags have been donated in honor of the 20th luncheon, and you'll be able to bid on those. And something fun we're doing is we are having some of our supporters buy gift cards to local businesses, because we want to support the local businesses now because they are hurting as well. And local businesses are so generous to nonprofits in our community. So we have supporters who are going out and going to their local restaurant, store, hair salon, whatever it is, and buying gift cards. And then we'll put those in the handbag. So you're not gonna know what gift cards you're going to get in your handbag. So that's an extra bonus for bidding and being the winning bidder on those handbags. And then Avenue Jewelers has again given us a jewelry item that we are going to put in one of those handbags. You could also get an extra special surprise. Ooh. if you bid on the handbag and win the one with the Avenue Jewelers gift in it as well. So we want to have some fun with it. We want it to be interactive. We want people to really engage with us. And so going to our website and registering for the event, you'll see all that information and be able to participate.
I love it. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'll be there. I know that much for sure. Julie, well, thank you so much for being here today, telling us about what is going on here with women in the world, with everything going on with COVID, and then also telling us a little bit about this luncheon. It's going to be a fun event.
Yes, it will be. We're looking forward to it. Thank you.
I want to thank you for listening. And if you want to hear more Soul Source, subscribe to the show. We're available wherever you listen to podcasts. If there's something you want to talk about on the show, we can do that too. We have a Facebook group called the Soul Source Society, and it's where we interact with listeners, share special content only seen in that group, talk about shows, get ideas for future podcasts, and overall, we just have a lot of fun. That's Soul Source Society on Facebook. We hope to see you there. Soul Source is brought to you by Red Shoes, Inc., a leading agency specializing in crisis and strategic communications, media relations, social media, and so much more. To learn more about Soul Source and Red Shoes, visit us at redshoesinc.com.